Do you still have birds? I haven't heard them in the longest time.
Oh yeah, they're asleep.
Are they?
Motherfuckers. Their light is off, so they're in bed.
Wish that worked for everyone.
Hey, you want to know something? Right here. I'm holding a square drive, like a screwdriver.
Uh-huh.
And some of them have the little square hole, and this is the bit for turning a square drive screw.
Okay.
They're fucking garbage. If I ever send you to the hardware store, not that I'm likely to, I'm like, hey, can you give me a box of screws? We're going to get a Phillips or a star drive or goddamn anything but a square or a flathead. Flathead is also trash, but the squares.
Oh, what sort of a thing did you need to screw that square?
My wife's kind of a square.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was. Oh, I have a deck project going on.
Oh, I like a nice deck.
Yeah, a nice one's nice. A piece of shit one like I have is depressing, and you don't want to go hang out on it.
No.
You don't even want to go out there and pee off it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been on those. I am building a track that if you run around it 25 times, it's a mile. It goes all around the edges of my yard with pavers. And in the middle, there's going to be a dog circuit. Like there's a teeter-totter where one dog is on one end and one's on the other. And they go up and down.
I was hoping that in the middle was going to be some sort of like a wine fountain or something.
That might be better. But there's hoops for them to jump through, and one of those things that dogs do, run in.
Yeah, like a little...
like and the tube for them to go through.
Yeah, a little agility course.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then if they don't successfully complete the agility course, then over the fucking fence.
Food for the coyotes.
Yep.
They'll do it. They're good at that stuff.
The coyotes?
No, the dogs. They're good at their tricks.
What have you looked out and oh look, there's like 3-4 coyotes. They're just like weaving through the stakes and running through the tunnel and stuff and balancing on the thing. You're like, hey, get out of here. Yeah. Then they run away. I guess that's the sound they make. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. I would film that. That'd be good. Little raccoons out there doing it.
Raccoons probably be a little more likely. I tell you about the coyotes that we had out behind our place the other night.
No, you have them too.
Yeah, they were going absolutely bananas, apeshit, berserk. Probably chasing down a rabbit.
The noise they make is really crazy.
Yeah, and we had our windows open because it was very hot, and needless to say, we both woke up because. Yeah, I mean, we're in the
scream,
woods.
Don't they?
Yeah, if you catch
it's
them.
It's a horrible sound.
So I'm hoping it was a squirrel. But, you know, a squirrel's probably going to be up in a tree at night. So it's unlikely. But
could have been a cat.
Could have been a cat. Could have been a little tiny man. Is it running through?
Children, the extra children in your neighborhood.
Yeah, keep the numbers down or they, you know, they breed and you got a problem. Stray kids living under your porch.
Begging for food.
Well, I mean, that's probably the best stuff we're going to do. So we might as well start the podcast.
Sure.
Okay. Hello, listener, and welcome to your new 16th favorite podcast right behind Dan Quayle's Filthy Haiku Hour. It's Destroy the Files with Kate and Brent.
Hi, I'm Kate, writer, editor, TikTok sensation.
And I'm Brent, part-time writer, part-time beer drinker, full-time interrupter. This is a podcast which you'll probably just delete as soon as we record it, and where the only limit is your imagination, Kate. If you were at work, a child at work, easily influenced, easily annoyed, a member of the Norwegian Special Forces, or my own dear sweet mother, we suggest you find a better way to spend your time than listening to this awesome, fucking podcast.
Woo! Wheelie wow!
That was my guitar solo.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Diggity diggity music.
I've been practicing.
Wee wow!
Very nice. So what's been on your mind lately, Brent?
Getting struck by lightning, like always.
Whoa. Has that ever happened to you?
No, but I think about it constantly.
Do you?
So, little known fact, I probably have mentioned this before, but getting struck by lightning like 100 times is my number one way to die. Or just, you know, getting just
you
once.
You would die and also break a record.
Yeah, right? Because they'd be at the thing and they'd be like, oh, you know, how did Brent go, you know? Like, I didn't really hear the whole story. Well, the son of a bitch was out in the field, got struck by lightning 100 times. You're like, wow. Yeah, but that wasn't what killed him. Got struck by lightning one more time, 101 times. 100 times, couldn't kill him. Took 101. And then be like
Rasputin.
Yeah.
They beat him, drowned him.
Poisoned him, shot him, stabbed him. They did everything they could think of, like, except for cutting off his head. And maybe they did that eventually. I don't know. But he's still stomping around Russia, just beating ass today, you know.
He came back as Putin. Just changed his name. Cut the first part off, the rasp.
I think Grigori was about 2 feet taller than Vladimir Putin, right? Putin's a tiny man, if I'm not mistaken. You put him in your pocket. You put him right in your pocket.
Well, age makes you grow shorter. Yeah. I have learned. God damn it.
And, you know, he studies Brazilian jiu-jitsu like me.
Really? I did not know that.
I would love to get Putin on the mat.
Would you?
I won't fucking
kick
stop
his ass
him.
Or tap him really hard or whatever you guys do?
I'll choke him. Choke. I'll wreck his arms and then I'll choke him. And then he'll be like trying to tap or whatever. And then, no, that ain't how this ends.
Just flopping around. Yeah. Arms are ruined.
Yeah. Now, when you get struck by lightning, you can get what's called Lichtenberg figures, right?
Yeah.
And it looks like lightning going wherever you got hit, and it's sort of like
cooking all the blood in your veins.
Maybe I didn't finish reading the Wikipedia article on that.
You got to finish the Wikipedia articles.
You know, but it was time to podcast
deep research,
and my podcast partner was like furious and possibly drunk and just screaming at me. I was like, I better stop what I'm doing.
As
you are wont to do. And then, so you can get these lightning-like figures, but apparently they disappear in 24 to 48 hours. Lame. If I got those, I'd be going straight to the tattoo shop and be like, fucking ink this shit on so I can keep it. You can run into things, other issues that you might suffer will be hearing loss, because I guess it can be quite loud.
Oh, wow.
Vision problems. I'm not super into vision problems, but I could deal. Muscle soreness or pain.
Happening. Fan. Have you ever been tased?
Not that I can remember.
Tased.
You can get headaches or dizziness. So right there, don't want to survive the lightning strike. I do not like to put up with
really headaches or dizziness. Really, a headache is too much?
And then nausea and or upset stomach. See, again, why didn't I just stay up all night drinking instead of getting struck by lightning, right? And then possibly the worst of this list, mild confusion.
A lot of them are reported there. It's not so bad. Just mildly confused at all times.
But I mean, I'm already mildly confused.
It's great for driving, though.
I have found the opposite. It gives me tremendous anxiety when I'm driving.
I can't listen to music when I'm driving because I'll start daydreaming and end up in like a different state.
Mm.
That has happened. I almost crossed into Canada because I was really into like Bach one time, like the symphony things.
Sure.
I was dancing along and there's the Canadian border. Oh shit, I made a wrong turn somewhere.
You're one of us now, eh? So, according to National Geographic, annually About 2,000 people worldwide are killed by the lightnings. Over the last 20 years, the United States averaged 51 annual lightning strikes. Lightning strike fatalities, putting it in second, just behind floods for deadly weather.
51 per country?
51 in the United States per year average.
Wow, that's just next to nothing. Like 51 people were in the grocery store last time I was there. That doesn't seem like that would be statistically relevant to where anyone, I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, but for those 51 people, I'm sure it's memorable.
Or, yeah, well, their families anyway. So I'm looking at a map of U.S. lightning deaths from 2007 to 2017. Now, there are a lot in Arizona.
Let me guess. Texas?
Texas it's not a surprising amount in Texas.
No, but Arizona?
Arizona has a lot of them. I think more than California.
Maybe because it's so flat, the lightning, they don't have anywhere to run and hide.
But
are they all carrying umbrellas? I don't know.
Florida. What is it, the ocean? Florida is just dense with Florida and New Jersey.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry.
It's the same fuckers.
Florida. We love you, Florida man.
But is it the same assholes from New Jersey going down to Florida and getting struck down there on spring break and
struck
shit
in the winter?
Son go down of a bitch. To Florida
twice.
Somebody's trying to tell you something, New Jersey. I was at a Packer game with my brother and a couple buddies a couple years ago, and there's a storm had rolled through, small, fast mover, electrical storm, and they called everybody out of the stands under the concourse. It was just going to like downpour for like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. And there's the threat of lightning strike. And so they're like, just everybody please go into the concourse by the concession stands and stuff. And I'm like,
they stopped the game and everything?
Yeah.
Like make the players freeze? Uh-huh. Like in their position with the ball.
Yeah, exactly. Like big old game of freeze tag down on the field. And I had a decision to make now. Like, this could be the only chance I'll have in my life to get struck by lightning at Lambeau Field. And I'm sad to say, Kate, I hung my head and I sludged off down. Sludged? Did I sludge? Yeah, I sludged.
You trudged. Trust an editor.
All right. And I trudged on down to the concourse with all the other nobodies who didn't get struck by lightning that day. I always look back and wonder what could have been, you know?
I have been very close to a lake when the lake got hit.
Oh, yeah? Was it crazy?
Yeah, it's exciting. You can see it crackle through the water and like little fish turn up and bob. And
you got to get out there and net those fish before they wake up.
They're already cooked.
Yeah, squeeze them out the face. All this fish meat comes right out the eye holes.
Oh, yum. That sounds tasty. But that electricity does some cooking. You don't really realize how powerful it is. It's in your house and there's little squares, you plug a plug in it, but you know, like you stick a wire in there and put a hot dog on it, that'll cook that right up in no time.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
You've never cooked a hot dog that way?
I haven't.
You have to do it now. Grab a coat hanger, like a wire one. Do you have those still?
I do upstairs. We have a bunch of them upstairs.
Right, stick it in the hole, but make sure that you put like each end into the end of a hot dog, cooks it right up.
Okay. You know? That sounds delicious.
You could even like ask your son to help you, because
I bet he'd want
to know all about sticking like metal into those things.
You gotta learn sooner or later.
Right. You gotta respect it. And the only way to respect something is to like smack right up against it, because then you never forget. Mm-hmm. You never do.
Yeah, that hot dog thing. That sounds like a really tasty recipe. He's very into cooking.
Nice.
Yeah, we can melt some cheese on top.
Sure. I think the electricity does a lot, like when it's all loose like that and everything. Mm.
Okay. Yeah. Sold. I could not verify with the lightning strikes whether or not getting struck makes you prone to getting struck more.
I think that's probably a game theory question. Like, if you're flipping dice and you get like double sixes three times in a row, that would be statistically unusual. But there's no reason. It's like still 50-50 or whatever. The odds are exactly the same. It'll happen the next time. Just because it's happened before doesn't mean it won't happen next time. I don't think I explained that theory very well, but I'm not a teacher, goddammit. I am not a teacher. Look it up. It's on Wikipedia, game theory.
All right.
Game. Statistical probability.
The most lightning-stricken human is a gentleman named Roy Sullivan, holds the Guinness World Record after surviving 7 different lightning strikes.
Oh, wow.
He had multiple injuries across his body. Oh, look, he's a park ranger, and he's got a prominent burn mark visible on his ranger hat. Born in 1912. Oh, he died in 1983. Wait a second.
From lightning?
Snow. Oh.
Oh, no. From what?
Suicide by gunshot.
Oh, man. He could have held out for number 8. It's got to be a hard thing to do.
So listen to this. He was avoided by people later in life because of their fear of being hit by lightning, and this saddened him. He once recalled, For instance, I was walking with the chief ranger one day when lightning struck way off in the distance. The chief said, "I'll see you later." Oh, poor guy.
It never pays to be a people person.
There's an account of each of the 7 strikes right here. I'm not going to go through them, but...
Did he lose any limbs? Or?
No, just all of his friends. Poor Roy.
Oh boy.
Born February 7th, 1912. Died September 28th.
83.
In Dooms, Virginia. Oh boy.
Man.
Some would say he was
doomed.
Oh. I was going to say it.
Sorry, interrupted.
I want to ask you what you've been thinking about, but first, got to do a quick sponsor read. This portion of the podcast is sponsored by Bottomless Well Drilling. Our qualified technicians are prompt, professional, and courteous. That's why we've been the most trusted well drilling company in the metro area for over 75 years. All wells are guaranteed to go deep, well below the water table, to depths beyond measure. Also, our technicians do not wear pants or underwear. Call Bottomless Well Drilling today.
Welcome. Yeah. I have always wanted a bottomless well.
Yeah, they're nice.
Yeah. You have one?
No. My uncle had one.
Yeah.
And is at his old place.
Nice.
So what's been on your mind?
So you were telling me about a fellow named Salvador Dali recently. Yeah,
he's a famous painter.
Yeah, he is. And he seems like a really interesting character. And I started thinking about people whose brains work a little differently. So just to be safe, I came up with this. I found this test. And so I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Oh, that'll be fun.
You ready? All right.
I hope so.
So, most would describe me as charming and nonchalant. I can turn my charm on and off like a faucet. Not me. This describes me somewhat. This is definitely me.
This describes me somewhat, I guess.
Huh. All right. I do what I want, when I want, the moment the impulse strikes me, regardless of what others want.
That's not me. No.
No. Yeah. If something goes wrong or turns out badly, it's not my fault.
Well, this describes me somewhat, because the thing is...
I have to say, this is definitely me. It's not my fault. Like, fuck that, right?
But there's once in a great while when it actually is my fault, and you know, once every 5, 6, 7, 10 years, I will accept some accountability.
Oh, really?
In the rare instance that I
How
actually
does
did fuck
something out up. For you though. I mean, does that ever turn out well?
Accepting blame for my mistakes. I don't know.
It's not a good plan though, right?
Not if you want to get away with it.
No, you got to fight it. All right, next up. I've gotten into legal or criminal trouble as an adult, not just speeding or parking tickets.
Not me. I'm like a hummingbird. Yeah, they can't catch me.
All right. I'm easily the best at what I do, bar none. Nobody could ever take my place.
Not me. No, I'm...
I do whatever I feel like doing, and I don't care what others think, or even if it's illegal.
Yeah, it's me a little bit, I guess. You know,
is it? You do whatever you feel like doing and don't care what others think? Yeah? Somewhat?
Just a little teensy bit. Right. You know, I mean.
Every person for themselves. I don't see the point of feeling sorry for other people and have no desire to help others.
Not me. And if I saw somebody with that kind of apathy towards their fellow man, I would curb stomp them up the ass.
There you go.
I don't know what that
means. I've gotten into legal or criminal trouble when I was a teenager.
With you a little.
Somewhat?
Somewhat, sure, yeah.
All right. I have no problem or concern in lying in order to get what I want.
I want to say not me.
But that would be lying.
So, I don't know. I try not to.
All right. We'll give that a not me because okay. I don't think you do a lot of lying. Live in the moment is what I say. The future will take care of itself, and learning from your past is pointless. Not me.
Not me, no.
No. I never feel remorse, shame, or guilt about something I've said or done. Oh, I live there.
I wake up feeling shitty about things that I wasn't even involved in or know about, you know?
No, me too. Man, I wish I could be one of these people. All right. I don't see the point in taking on responsibility of any kind. Responsibilities just weigh you down.
Not me, no.
All right. So I'm going to score your psychopathy. Here we come.
Oh, all right.
You scored a 4. You are not a psychopath.
Son of a bitch, I knew it.
Wow. Good work. So
what about you, Kate? Are you a psychopath?
I took the test. I got like a little bit higher than that because I will tell a lie. I will. But, you know, that's kind of what a writer does is we work our whole lives to be really good at telling some lies.
Just a little fib. Speaking of fibs,
yeah,
they are thick as fucking thieves up here. Wait, no, that's not the right word. They're thick as mosquitoes up here.
Fibs?
Yeah.
From who?
From Illinois.
I'm not sure what it is that you're trying to tell me. What information are you trying to convey?
I guess outside of northern Wisconsin, Wisconsin, maybe a lot of people don't know what a fib is. Well, oh. It's a person from Illinois.
Oh, see.
The I is for Illinois.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole different thing.
Sure, yeah. It's like a little lie. That, yeah, well, it also means something Illinois something. There's a lot of fibs up here.
Ah, I see.
You know where there's a lot of cases of the Rona?
Illinois,
Northern Illinois, Chicago and suburbs. So everybody's like, we got to get out of this place. It's a goddamn hotbed for sickness. Let's go up to Northern Wisconsin. There's nobody up there.
Rude. Fib.
Yeah. Go home, fib. Apologies to all the fibs who are listening. I'm sure you're one of the good ones.
So the thinking about the psychopaths made me remember about, made me start thinking about people whose brains work a little differently, because there must be some sort of evolutionary reason that people like behave and think in different ways. Long time ago, I lived in this cool old house that had been cut up into apartments. I probably talked about this before, but you know, it's the same house, same roommates, but I never told you about the neighbors. So in this house, next door lived Tom and Jessica, and they were in their 20s, and Tom had Down syndrome, and he was just the nicest guy ever. And his girlfriend, Jessica, had the misfortune of looking just like a fashion model, except she approached the world like she had the intellect of like a 7-year-old. This kind of got her into some scary situations, but they had a social worker who would come and visit them and check on them. And Tom was really good about watching out for Jessica. So sometimes they would knock on the door and they wanted me to be the judge to solve their argument. Like everyone does. You knock on your neighbor's door when you and Carrie disagree, right? Like, solve this for us. Someone else needs to decide.
Yeah, or call you in the middle of the night and like just hammered and she's sober. Like, hey, you gotta pick a side here.
So they would ask me things like, does Jessica's bra go under the t-shirt or over the t-shirt? And like, clearly under. Like, that was an easy one. Tom lost that one. Like, it should go under. And then Jessica one time wanted to know, was it okay to get on the bus if a guy pays for your fare? And it's like, no, Jessica, no. You just never promise never to get on the bus if someone pays your fare. So Jessica, who came from a family with really good like physical genes, but kind of shitty mental genes, had this brother named Sam. And he would show up from time to time. And he kind of looked like a movie star. Like what was the guy who did the airport? George Clooney? Mm. He was kind of like a George Clooney looking guy, but younger. And this was the 80s. But there was something off about this guy. So in the 80s, when this story is taking place, crack was an actual thing rather than a joke. You smoke crack. Because people were really smoking crack. I don't know that Sam did, you know, maybe not. Would explain a lot. But he was a talker. So imagine George Clooney talking some shit, standing out on the porch. He was a raconteur and had all kinds of tall tales. I may have been guilty about being out on the porch with a couple of cocktails listening till, you know, early in the morning. I actually loaned him some money that I have yet to get back, to be honest.
But any day now, though.
Any day.
I'm sure he's good for it.
It's really hard to say no to a guy like that. So one day, Tom and Jessica show up on my door. They knock. They have an interesting dilemma. They would like to know which is better, a car or a house. Hard question, right? So Tom says the house is better because he's building wealth. Jessica says the car is better because then you don't have to deal with the guys who are trying to pay your bus fare. So, like, they both have a point. We discussed all the pros and the cons and decided that the house was best.
That's why I would have went with the house, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a house is better than a car, I guess. Although there are lots of pros and cons.
Yeah.
But house. We went with house. So they seemed happy with that decision and took off, like heading out toward town. And I asked them, where are you going? And Jessica tells me they're going to the Sears to get a Barbie dream house before Sam gets there. Like, what? Tom explains that Sam always shows up the day they get their Social Security check and tries to borrow all their money. What? You can't let him do that to you. And what about the groceries? What about your bills? You can't let him take it. Well, the social worker took care of all the bills and stuff. And so it was just their spending money that was at risk. So I thought about that for a minute and realized that this solution is freaking brilliant, because if you spend it all, Sam can't get it.
Yeah.
So I drove him down to the Sears and we bought a Barbie dream house and some new Barbies and clothes and all the spent all the extra money that they had for the whole month. Like, it was like Christmas. We brought it all home in my car, and maybe I helped set it up because Barbie dream houses are awesome. And it was like Christmas. And then when Sam came knocking on the door, they told him how they spent all the money already and come and look at the Barbie playhouse. And he was not happy about it. All he got was a sandwich and some Kool-Aid for the whole month. And, you know, he'll come around next month and it'll probably work and he'll talk him out of the money again. But for that one month, that was like the coolest decision ever. They won. They beat the sociopath. Or psychopath. I forget which one he is. Sociopath. No, psychopaths are the murderers, right?
Yeah, they can be.
Yeah. And then the sociopath are just the stealers.
I'm going to have to get back to you on that. Either way, I don't think either of them have like the kind of emotional wherewithal to be any good for anybody. But
they're entertaining, I found. I've known a few. They're fun for like 4 to 6 weeks. And then you kind of have to get rid of them because they're expensive and they cause trouble.
They got all your stuff.
I know, and you got to get them out of jail.
So I also found myself thinking about sort of a medical oddity. Edward Mordake? Mordake? But anyway, so Tom Waits has a song about him, poor Edward. And he's in the 1896 Medical Encyclopedia, Anomalies and Curiosities of Medicine. One of the weirdest as well as the most melancholy stories of human deformity is that of Edward Mordake, said to have been heir to one of the noblest peerages in England. He never claimed the title, however, and committed suicide in his 23rd year. He lived in complete seclusion, refusing the visits even of the members of his own family. He was a young man of fine attainments, a profound scholar, and a musician of rare ability. His figure was remarkable for its grace, and his face, that is to say, his natural face, was that of an Antinous.
What does that word mean?
Well, let's see. Bithynian Greek youth.
Oh, so he had a nice face?
Yeah, he had a good face. But upon the back of his head was another face.
No.
That of a beautiful girl, lovely as a dream, hideous as a devil. The female face was a mere mask, occupying only a small portion of the posterior part of the skull, yet exhibiting every sign of intelligence, of a malignant sort, however. It would be seen to smile and sneer while Mordake was sleeping, The eyes would follow the movements of the spectator, and the lips would gibber without ceasing. No voice was audible, but Mordake said that he was kept from his rest at night by the hateful whispers of his devil twin, as he called it, which never sleeps but talks to me forever of such things as they only speak of in hell. No imagination can conceive of the dreadful temptations it sets before me. For some unforgiven wickedness of my forefathers, I am knit to this fiend. For a fiend it surely is. I beg and beseech you to crush it out of human semblance, even if I die for it. Such were the words of hapless Mordake to Manvers and Treadwell, his physicians. In spite of careful watching, he managed to procure poison, whereof he died, leaving a letter requesting that the demon face might be destroyed before his burial, quote, lest it continues its dreadful whisperings in my grave, end quote.
At his now, own... that's just a case of simple misogyny. He just doesn't like the women, isn't going to listen to what the women say, going to call it demon talk. That's some bullshit.
When are you going to wash the dishes? When are you going to take out the garbage?
Damn it, demon face, I'll take out the garbage when it's full.
Right?
It's not my turn to do the dishes.
Clearly, just a case of not being able to get along with a woman.
Oh, poor, poor Edward. Just like Tom Waits said. Edward. This portion of the podcast is brought to you by a large boil on your neck. Did you know you have a large boil on your neck? It's odd that you're unaware of it. Everybody sees it. I mean, it sort of calls attention to itself, gleaming the way it does. Seriously, that thing looks like an apple that's about to explode cottage cheese all over the room. I think it has some smaller boils on it, too. That's a large boil on your neck. How can you not feel that?
I would say welcome, but I'm not going to.
Welcome, new sponsor. Welcome from me and Kate. So I got a present.
Nice.
Yeah, I got three presents.
Did it come in the mail?
It did not. It came downloaded to my computer.
Oh.
So what had happened was, now last Friday, I was up a little late. And I was just listening to some podcasts. I was listening to The Professional Left. They really cracked me up. That's a good one. Listening to them, and I was playing some Don't Starve. And I guess I was doing a little shopping on the internet. And So I got my paycheck
from
work.
There was drinking involved, wasn't there?
I can't remember. And I got my paycheck from work. I was like, oh, I wonder what my bank account looks like these days. I haven't checked it in a while. And I know you're thinking, you're gonna be, oh, geez, there's a giant chunk out of it. There wasn't. So I get in my bank account, and I'm like, oh, that's not so bad. That's just fine. And then, but at the top of the page there, you can see the 10 or 12, whatever most recent purchases before you even scroll down. And as I happen to notice, there's one for, oh, it's at Steam Games. Why did I pay Steam Games $32? I guess I has bought myself some game. I'm like, well, let's go see what Drunk Brent bought me, you know? And I went over to Steam and I checked, and oh, geez, I got three new games that I really wanted to play. I was like, oh, look at that.
Nice. Look at that.
Presents from Drunk Brent. And you know, I feel like we used to buy each other presents all the time.
Did you?
And leave each other, like, well, he would leave me, you know, voicemails on my cell phone. He'd get a hold of a buddy's phone and call my phone and late at night and leave a message. And I wake up in the morning like, oh, this is voicemail. And then I listen to it. Just dickens of a message from my inebriated friend. And lately he hasn't really been bought me any presents, but he did. And I just, you know, shout out to you, Drunk Brent. I appreciate you thinking of me. I really enjoy those games. I can't wait to get it. I played the one for a few minutes and it's like, this is a good game. I'm looking forward to playing the rest of this. That kind of thing gets me thinking about like some of the other stuff that I used to do. I didn't just mess with myself and I didn't have to be drunk to do it, but I used to mess with my friends and my close family members all the time. Like,
did you?
One thing I did to my brother and his wife this is years ago before, like just out of college. They didn't even have any kids yet. And I was staying overnight at their place one time, and this took some real dexterity and patience. I switched their silverware drawer with their utensil drawer, but I couldn't just pull it out and switch the drawers. I had to literally take everything out silently, slowly, and put it on top of the counter and then switch everything over. It took almost an hour.
That is more evil than evil.
Oh, they were going fucking crazy for like a week. I was like, I'm like sitting there like eating cereal, watching them like pull open the drawer, thinking that it's muscle
memory. You screwed with their muscle memory. That is evil.
And I also, maybe not quite as evil, I don't know, depending, but I took all their DVDs and I took all the DVDs out of the cases. No. And then I spread the cases out, kind of shuffled them up, and then I started putting random back in different cases. So it wasn't like I just switched them like you would have thought. So you open up Jurassic Park and oh, it's Die Hard. You're like, all right, well, I'll open up Die Hard and that's where Jurassic Park will be. Nope.
Oh, no.
Nope. That's
with no map, no way to solve the puzzle except to, oh, man.
All you can deserve do is
one of the rings of hell.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Like maybe your own ring.
And then I was telling you about my most recent hijink the other day a little bit, but my good friends Justin and Sarah down in Florida, they just got a package from a puzzle company. It's got a 1,000-piece puzzle in it with no photo instructions or anything. So I just messaged them, "Hey, what is up?" And they both kind of messaged back right away, like, "So what the fuck's this puzzle of?" You know, like, "I don't know. You'll have to put it together and let me know." So I messaged back an hour later to see if they were done, and they weren't. They might just throw it away. I don't know. It's anybody's guess. Yeah, good time. I got to come up with some more shit like that. You know, proud of that idea. I've really been brainstorming lately.
That was pretty clever. I would not have thought of that.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think of some new stuff, and you know I know your address, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've gotten boxes of things from you before.
I've always been pretty bad about sending stuff out, so it's not like you would have got anything fun from me. But maybe someday soon.
I think I did get a box of fun stuff, like a couple of times maybe. I know I have four-leaf clovers.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
And like pop guns.
All right. So I have dozens of four-leaf clovers right next to me. I could reach out and pull one out. They're in my copy of, see, there's one right there.
Look at that.
Yeah. So in my copy of Finnegan's Wake here, I use that for pressing four-leaf clovers because what else would you use it for?
Show me your copy of Finnegan's Wake.
All right. Well, it's behind.
Hold it right up there to the camera.
It's behind some index cards. It's right here.
Huh? Oh. Huh.
You want me to read you some passages?
I that was a little glare on that cover there.
Well, it's a glossy cover.
Oh. Well, look at that.
Jimmy Joyce.
Oh, I see. There you go. Great.
Okay. I use that for pressing my four-leaf clovers. As I said, what else would you even use it for? I was introduced to Finnegan's Wake by a man named Terrence McKenna. We'll get into him some other time.
I have lied about reading that book for close to 25 years now.
Hmm.
Never finished it. Oh, now I just told the whole listener.
They didn't read it either. Well, one person read that thing, and he was damn near blind when he finished writing it. We talked about the muscle soreness and mild confusion of lightning strikes.
Yes, we did.
We talked a little bit about messing with friends and getting inebriated and buying myself presents. We even talked about Edward Mordake. But what we didn't talk about is the other day we were talking about Salvador Dali and how he said he could remember being in the womb. You said that's not possible. So I went on the internet and I Googled, is it possible to remember being in the womb? Consensus is that no, you can't remember being in the womb. So we got to the bottom of that one. Looks like you were right.
What is your first memory? Do you have a very first one?
I don't know.
No. I think I was in high school for my first memory.
I got some stuff from when I was little. I remember falling asleep on, we had this big Chesapeake Bay Retriever named Ben, huge dog. And he was sleeping on the step, and I just went and laid down with my head on him, and then I fell asleep there and took a nap in the summer sun on the dog.
It's a good one. It's nice and pleasant. I kind of remember like throwing sand at my grandmother from a sandbox.
Oh, good. She probably had it coming.
She did.
This portion of the podcast is brought to you by Murphy and Banjo's Subdermal Egg Sac Removal. Has some creature deposited its eggs under your skin using some sort of egg depositing appendage? Well, then you need to visit Murphy and Banjo. While Murphy and Banjo are not licensed physicians, they are highly skilled at digging eggs out from under the skin of unanesthetized, fully resisting adults. Heck, Banjo even gets off on it. And check out the new line of Murphy and Banjo's Ovipositor Repellent Spray. I have some of that myself.
It's an ova negative, Brent.
Highly effective spray.
You don't talk about the ovipositors.
Yeah, but remember? I wasn't talking about it as a sex toy. This is contract.
Ova negative.
A bug.
Swear to God.
Or something. Are there lizards that have ovipositors?
Stop.
Oh.
Stop.
Sure.
Thank you.
I don't have any letters in the mail sack this week that I was able to translate into English. Do you have some that were just sort of weird scribblings, strange characters, just weird hallucinatory images that didn't really make sort of sentences or questions? So there's some stuff in the mail sack for sure, but just nothing we can use. And I didn't hear back from, I'm sad to say that I did not yet hear back from McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's or Arby's or anybody about the severed human finger in the French fries. May I continue the campaign, get some answers out of these people.
Right. So my neighbors have been very well behaved for a solid week, maybe even two.
Are they out of town?
I don't understand. No, they're quiet. They're over there. I hear them talking a little. They have not erected anything obnoxious or cut down any plants. Maybe they're going to be all right as neighbors.
You should take them some sort of a pie or something.
Oh, you're right.
Or you could grab your tarot cards and go over and just be like, hey, I just want to give you guys a free tarot reading for being such nice neighbors.
Or maybe I could give them a puzzle. I just mail it to them.
Yes. Oh, if you sent them a puzzle that is a picture of their kids playing in the backyard.
Oh, that would be so good. I could Photoshop it a little. Yeah, not that I would add blood from the accident they're going to have from that slide over the
car. You could put like Photoshop in like clowns hiding in the bushes and stuff.
Oh, I would do that. Do you think they listen? No, I don't think they do. Because that would ruin the surprise.
If they listen, they'll probably get a hold of you and tell you not to send them a puzzle like that. So if you don't hear from them, that's a green light to send the puzzle.
You're right. Hey, I can do it.
Would you put the photo on the box or would you do
oh,
like
no.
I did? No, okay,
no,
good.
No, because your ideas, because then you have to put it together to find out, and it'll slowly unfold.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
And then maybe just like up in the sky, these swoopy letters that just say, watching.
Or some lightning.
Oh.
Make it a theme.
Love it.
So are we nearing the end of our...
I think so. I mean, I could keep talking all night long, but you look like you're getting ready to go out somewhere.
Could be. Holidays coming up, right?
Yeah.
You got plans for the holiday? You're going to stay home and social distance like a responsible person?
Well, I can't tell you what I'm doing. I don't want to ruin the surprise, Kate. I will be visiting with some family. Very small gathering. We'll all be, spitting in each other's mouths and rubbing our eyes together and stuff like that. You know, it's family stuff, but I mean, so maybe eat some like three bean hot dish or something. That's always, it's always too hot though. I mean, it's going to be 90 degrees. Who's got 91?
That is really hot for Wisconsin.
Yeah. And then you're going to have like a crock pot full of meatballs or little smokies or three bean hot dish. And like, why the hell is there steam coming off this thing? It's 91 degrees out. You didn't need to plug that crock pot in. Give me some cold beans. God damn it.
So Matthew, as we speak, is barbecuing a rack of ribs, and it keeps wafting in through the window.
Raccoon or?
No, one of the bigger animals. The
camel.
Camel, maybe. Smells pretty good.
It could be pig, too.
Yeah, probably pig. Probably. Although, I wish pigs weren't so delicious, because they're awfully cute. And I think I would like my next dog to be a pig.
Mm. Yeah. Well, don't wait. You know? Don't wait till the old dogs are gone, because they might get some enjoyment out of, the little dog-shaped saddle that you're going to build for that pig so that they can ride the pig around the yard.
I know. It's a dog circus. Although, they say there are miniature pigs. I suspect many of those miniature pigs grow up into the great big huge ones that you can use to dispose a body.
I understand that you need to pull the teeth if you're going to do that.
Oh, of the people?
The people, yeah. Because
not the pig.
The enamel is too, it's too, the pig's digestion isn't really going to be good for that. But otherwise, it should be pretty good. Have you been making it around the neighborhood and coughing on people's car door handles at all? Or
no, I am. I have not really left the house much, because if I do, I will die. I'm pretty sure I will.
Oh.
Oh, that was not very upbeat, was it?
Yeah, well, don't die, because then I got to figure out where the hell I'm going to publish my books.
Right? You know, I have responsibilities, so I don't go out, because California is way fucked up. What the hell is wrong with California? We did everything right.
I'll tell you what's wrong with it is that you guys didn't get the message that we beat coronavirus and now the United States of America is open for business.
Because
we won.
Right? Huh.
On that delightful note, before we go, I just want to remind our one listener to support independent publishers and authors. Buy their books, leave reviews online, and hell, even read them if you want. Thanks for listening to Destroy the Files. I think we all learned a lot about our world and ourselves on tonight's voyage into the imagination, Kate.
Good night. See you next time.
And I've been Brent, and now it's time to say
good night. I'm Kate. Good night.
And good night, and don't get coronavirus, everybody.
Good work.
Hey, thanks, you too. I'm going to stop recording.
Beep.
Over negative.
Wow, what do you do?